Grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the gospel lesson we heard before, and I'll reread the last verses. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This is the word. Let us pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. An atheist was walking through the woods, admiring all that evolution had brought about. What majestic trees, what powerful rivers, what beautiful animals, he said to himself. As he was walking alongside the river, he heard a rustling in the bushes behind him. He turned to look and saw a 7-foot grizzly charging towards him. He ran as fast as he could up the path, looking over his shoulder, and saw that the bear was closing in on him. He ran even faster, so scared that tears were coming to his eyes. He looked over his shoulder again, and the bear was even closer. His heart was pumping frantically, and he tried to run even faster. As he did, he tripped and fell on the ground. He rolled over to pick himself up, but saw the bear right on top of him, reaching for him with his left paw and raising his right paw to strike. At that instant, the atheist cried out, "Lord, help me!" Time stopped. The bear froze. The forest was silent, and even the river stopped moving. A bright light shone upon the man. A voice came out of the sky. "You deny my existence for all these years, teach others I don't exist, and even credit creation to a cosmic accident. Do you expect me to help you out of this predicament? Am I to count you as a believer?" The atheist looked directly into the light and said, "It would be hypocritical of me to suddenly ask you to treat me as a Christian now, but perhaps you could make the bear a Christian." "Very well," said the voice. The light went out, the river rose, the river ran again, and the sounds of the forest resumed, and the bear dropped his right paw, brought both paws together, and bowed his head and spoke, "Lord, for this food which I'm about to receive, I am truly thankful." I suspect if you are like me, you can relate to this story of the atheist and the bear. How much of life do we go through enjoying the blessings that life has to offer, not sparing a thought to the source of those blessings? And all of a sudden, when trouble comes, we're on our knees crying out for help. Do we spend more of our time and energy complaining or giving thanks to God and to others? Luke records this encounter this morning of the thankful leper to remind us to look beyond the gift to the giver, and in doing so to give thanks to the giver of all good things, our Lord God. The lepers, theirs was a hopeless situation. They were not simply inflicted with a dreaded skin disease, but as a result were separated from the rest of society, considered judged by God. Lest this wash over you as being somewhat remote, imagine for a moment that you woke up tomorrow and were driven by authorities from your house, cut off from your family and social network of friends. You lose your job, your status in society, and what's worse, you are relocated to a lonely roadside on the outskirts of town where you sat and waited, begging for mercy from anyone who dared look your way or would risk coming close enough to show you mercy. Luke, the writer, sees himself and all humanity as beggars before God on the roadside of life, pleading for mercy. How quickly we forget God's mercy to us when we are inconvenienced by the pleas of another in need, or disrupted from our own agendas and busy schedules and priorities, spend a brief hour a week saying thanks to God, or a few minutes in prayer giving thanks in time of devotion at the meal table. Jesus, seeing their plight, took compassion on them and healed them as they made their way to the priests, which was part of the procedure for proving your fitness in those days to re-enter society. Now, one of the lepers was, we are told, a Samaritan. The Samaritans were a mixed race between the Jews of captivity and the Samaritan people of the land they were captive in. They were half-bloods. The Samaritans also followed the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, but differed from the Jews in the interpretation, or at least which was the location of the place of true worship. The relationships between Jew and Samaritan were one of hostility because of previous history. And according to Jewish writings, it says, he that eats the bread of the Samaritans is like that who eats, one who eats the flesh of swine. They were considered nothing and worthless. If you were taking a trip from Galilee to Jerusalem, you would take the long road, take a detour to avoid contamination through contact. But what separated the Samaritan from the other nine who we presume were Jewish were more than their social differences was his response to his healing. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God!" He fell at the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done, and this man was a Samaritan. I wonder what happened to the other nine lepers who did not go back to thank God. Did their minds immediately turn to other needs, newer preoccupations, more urgent petitions? Did they just move on with their lives, now cured of leprosy, but worried about something else? Did they remember how it was when they always were kept at a distance and never longed for cleansing? Did they even remember? As Christians, we too can often forget our former state. In describing our spiritual state before our conversion, the Lutheran confessions describe us as spiritually leprous and unclean, needing to be washed clean in the waters of baptism. Perhaps it's so long ago since we were baptized that we forget what it means to be lost or to not have the gospel. Maybe we are blind to those passages, especially in Romans, that remind us that even we are at both times clean and spiritually sick, in need of daily healing through forgiveness. That may not be something that is popular or that we like to pay attention to, but it is the truth of God's word, and we need to first remember that if we are to be truly free. This was the difference between the one Samaritan and the other nine lepers. In recognizing the giver behind the gift, he received an even greater reason to give thanks. Luke also uses the word healing four different times in this passage, but it's only at the end that he uses the Greek word for healing, which can be translated rescue or salvation. In recognizing the giver of the gift through the gift of faith, this Samaritan leper received the even greater gift of forgiveness, the gift of salvation, wholeness again, both in body and in spirit. And that is how it is in all of life. When God draws close to you, it's not to tell you what you've done wrong, it's so that he can bless you even more. Now, you may think I am against those other 9 lepers, but it's true that God loves all people, even those who are not thankful. Matthew 5 verse 45 says, "Your Father in heaven, he makes the sun rise on both good and bad people, and sends rain on the ones who do right and for the ones who do wrong." Jesus did not take away the healing of the other 9. He simply, in this passage, Luke is lifting up and praised the one who offered thanks to God, who was showed gratitude for this gift. God continues to send blessings to all of us, even though none of us deserve his blessings, because he is a God of love and shows compassion on all he has made. And in the hope that they too will recognize his goodness and thank him. But without faith in God, all the blessings in the world mean nothing. The 9 lepers who are cleansed from their leprosy still die and are lost. But through the gift of recognition comes faith, and with it salvation, and with that comes praise as response. Imagine for a moment with me what it would look like if our worship was not half-hearted but exuberant as God deserves. What if we look behind what is taking place today? If we look past the mistakes and frailness of a 50-year-old preacher to God, who is serving us again with his word, as surely as I'm speaking to you now. To a gospel, as Timothy said, that is not chained or limited in means in which it is presented, but is having its way in your life and mine and in the lives of the community to build up and tear down. A gospel that will ultimately be vindicated and not fail. What effect will that have on the way we worship, the way we sing our songs, or the way we say our amens, and the willingness to invite others to be part of this, lest they spend their life in the darkness? What difference will it make to your faith to know that the sufferings you face in this life, even death itself, are temporary and a means to an ultimate healing? What if the same God who is here today to heal you follows you out into the week? What difference will it make on your attitude when we attempted to complain, your sense of gratitude, your whole outlook on life? Expressing gratitude is more than a simple social grace. It is something that deepens the relationship between the giver and the recipient. The truth is that we have many things to be grateful for, more than we can even count or imagine that God has given us. We have much to be thankful and grateful for. The fact remains that we live in a broken world, and there will be continued today be days when nothing goes right and it seems that we have little to be thankful for. It is then that we pray the prayer of the man who said, "I thank you, Lord, that every day is not like this." In the meantime, though, as people who know the goodness and the love of God our Saviour, and have received the gift of healing in baptism for all our sins, we say, for all that we have received, make us truly thankful. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes our human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus to life eternal. Amen.